Hello and welcome to the Thought Leader Podcast. I'm Jeff Heisner, video journalist and digital media director of the Michigan District. Today, we're talking about the Michigan School of Missional Formation, and we're joined by Reverend Dr. Rob Casper, Reverend Ken Huner, and Deacon Al Renard. Dr. Casper, let's start with you. Why don't you talk a little bit about the history of the Michigan School of Missional Formation, and who is it for?
Well, thank you, Jeff, and looking forward to sharing a little bit today that the history of the Michigan School of Missional Formation it grows out of the work of our Synod and Convention back in 1989. Their decision there in that convention to say, you know, we need to raise up more lay leaders as deacons, and they kind of framed that what that deacon training would be. Over the course of years, deacons have had different roles, but during COVID, we've always wanted to lean into online learning so that it was asynchronous or distance was going to be a possibility for people to learn from a distance with new technology. Well, COVID kind of pushed us into that, quite frankly, and we're thankful for that. And so this Michigan School of Missional Formation is a formal name that we gave, we being the leadership of the Michigan District Deacon Training Program, called Commission on Deacon Qualifications, gave to this online platform at Kairos University. And so this is now a graduate level master's degree coursework that is asynchronous. In other words, anytime they can achieve time online and study, but it is our ongoing effort to raise up laymen and laywomen to learn, to study the scriptures, to be equipped for ministry, and in particular, to be prepared to serve alongside their pastor under their pastor supervision in areas of ministry. So it's more important about not the what, but the why. Why are we doing what we do? It's to raise up more people in service to the Lord.
Ken, why don't you talk about the educational requirements to be a deacon or a ministry assistant?
Sure. The education requirements to be a deacon includes taking 14 core courses. And since I'm the Greek instructor, I like to emphasize that includes Greek 1 and Greek 2. But there's Old Testament survey, New Testament survey, teaching the faith. There's leadership, Doctrine 1, Doctrine 2, homiletics, proclaiming the word, Lutheran worship, Christian caregiving, office of the ministry, very thorough. Church history, and reaching out to others. So those are the 14 courses. For the ministry assistant program, they don't have 14 courses that would be required to take. They actually have seven core courses, and then they have three electives for a total of 10 courses, whether it be worship, teaching the faith, leadership, outreach, or if they really want to do it, they can even take Greek courses. So that's the, really all this started when I was contacted by Dr. Schultz at the time, Robert Schultz, to teach Greek. I had kept up with my Greek by the grace of God. I was at one time asked to be an instructor at Concordia College, teaching level 4 for the Greek students there. And that was such a joy. But what happened in the process of being an instructor and then attending Camp Arcadia, Jeff, my life was touched by the lives of these deacon and MAP ministry assistant students. And I went to Camp Arcadia, but during class, their sense of devotion and their sense of fellowship. And then I went to Camp Arcadia and I was just swallowing and even had tears inwardly because I just saw what was happening, their sense of dedication, their sense of determination to serve their pastor and their church, always under the auspices of a pastor. And that just got me excited. That's been that way now for the past actually several years. So that's kind of the neat thing about this program. It's unlike anything else. And it's needed more and more and more.
And Ken, there are two different paths that you can take. A class plus or a class?
Yes. Yeah, so Dr. Casper shared a little bit about the Kairos program, the asynchronous program. Everything is online. you can actually get a master, an accredited master's degree doing that program. The other program now is what is called, what we now call the Classic Plus program, where it's a combination of in-person and then also viewing videos that have already been pre-recorded for the classes, but also maybe weekly Zoom meetings. We're leaving that up to the instructors. So we're trying to combine everything so that they have that in-person touch with each other and fellowship with each other. And that just took off once again, I believe, this past fall. Mm-hmm. And it's been extremely well received. I just see all types of possibilities with this program.
Deacon Al Renard, why don't you get into maybe a little bit more of the nuts and bolts of this and talk about the differences between these two programs?
Yeah, the differences, we've used the term Kairos and we've used the term Classic Plus, but maybe we can look at a couple of different terms. One you're very familiar with would be Kronos, you know, like your Kronos watch or whatever. And then we also use the term Kairos. Both of those are words that come to us from the Greek language. They're in our scriptures. They're both translated time, but Kronos is more like the time, the event when it happened. Kairos is more like the opportunity. Everything is right for us to proceed in this direction. So, to give you an example, if you remember the account of the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip, the Ethiopian eunuch, he was going along. He wasn't in a scheduled class, a scheduled catechism class, and then he was going to be baptized at next Sunday's service or whatever, all scheduled out. His was more like, okay, I'm reading the scriptures. The Lord has provided Philip to guide me through the scriptures. And then what does the Ethiopian eunuch say? He says, hey, there's some water over there. What's preventing me from being baptized? Okay, that's more the Kairos. That's the opportunity, that kind of concept that we're looking at for that. So those are the two basic, that's the basic difference between the two programs. So that translates into what Rob spoke about when we were talking about asynchronous. So we take the courses in the Classic Plus, they're scheduled, they're in some kind of order. In the Kairos, as the opportunities come, you have that opportunity to mix and match and shape that program to meet those type of needs. And so that's in a nutshell. There's a lot more to it in that, but it's really exciting. Having been on both sides of the program, having started my deacon education on the classic side, and then finishing it on the Kairos side, I'm able to kind of see both ways.
Jeff, if I may just mention a little something in regards to Al Renard. I've known him for years, and we worked together. I just want to let you know he was a good Greek student, and that was shining forth in his little talk this morning.
So Ken was equally a great Greek teacher, too.
Oh,
awesome. Yeah.
Rob, let me ask you a little bit about qualifications for deacons. What are they, and maybe the qualifications for ministry assistants?
One of the things that's very unique about a deacon or ministry assistant or is that they're raised up from within the congregation. In other words, they are people that are respected by their congregation members, or they're called upon by their pastors. They are seen as someone who you are equipped or you are a gifted person. You're respected as a brother or sister in Christ. We want you to go and get some more training. So that you're better equipped in scripture, whatever skill that area of ministry that we need you to serve in under a pastor, with our pastor, then you go in and get that training. We've also called this a little bit of like a pre-SMP. I want to be very thoughtful about that. Pre-SMP, that's a very distinct service in our or track toward ordination in our synod. And it works through the relationship, through the educational process of our seminaries, pre-SMP through Michigan School of Missional Formation. We are talking about, we give them the equipment and the opportunity to really prepare then to enter into that program. It's not in place of, it's to enter into that program with a great level of education and theological acumen and being able to function at a high level in order to accomplish that. So again, it's working with pastors, with congregations to raise up more lay leaders, and some of those lay leaders are going to move on to being pastors or deaconesses or serving in various ways. Now, with regard to capacity, they need to work at basically a graduate level, reading, graduate level communication, writing, and so on. So that's why I want to make this distinction too. The asynchronous program through Kairos is a master's of art degree. You know, it's actually a degreed program. Secondly, that's what's different about that from the Classic Plus program is that the Classic Plus program, while it may be the same content, it's face-to-face or a combination of online and face-to-face, that does not provide a master's degree. But it does equip people for service in God's kingdom in their specific areas of ministry, their context of ministry at their parish or congregation with their pastor.
And Ken or Al, either one of you can take this, talk about the cost and maybe the length of time that you have to put in to complete the program.
On the cost end of it, you have to understand that we have people that are all age ranges, all income levels. We have people that are still working, people that are retired. So what we've considered on the Classic Plus program is that we want to make this affordable that you can get in, but yet we want to be able to finance it so that we give the quality program that we have. So on the Classic program, the tuition is $350 per course. So on the Kairos program, because of the differences, the asynchronous approach to it, the opportunity approach to it, they charge on a tuition on a monthly basis, on a subscription basis, and that's $300 a month. Considering length of time, the Classic Plus program, being that there's scheduled classes and stuff, it's pretty predictable. You can finish it in just a little less than 2 years if you take all the courses along. Now, some people, if they're working full time, they only take like one course. Well, that may stretch out a little bit longer, but that gives you an idea of how that works. As far as Kairos goes, if you just really work at it and just really go, you could do it in 18 months or less. But I'll tell you, you're really spending a lot of time on that. We have one student right now in Kairos that the 14 core courses. He's been banging them out,
yep,
you know, once a month, and he's well on his track to be a little under a year and a half. So there, that comes to a key difference between the two programs too, is that in Kairos, a lot of it depends on your self initiative. Certainly, you need initiative in the Classic Plus, but you have more direction, you have more help in that way. Where in Kairos, if you're not doing it, it doesn't get done. So you have to consider that when you have the two things.
One thing I'd like to share in regards to the Kairos program, you eventually receive the Master of Arts degree. It's a fairly rigid program, Jeff. I mean, because there are like 8 outcomes now. And after each outcome, there's assessments along the way. And the students have a faculty mentor, a vocational mentor, and a personal mentor. And I would dare say, it's unlike many Master of Arts programs in the country. It's a tremendous opportunity for people to complete and continue their education and then achieve that Master of Arts degree. I will confess that Al is our first graduate, not guinea pig, first graduate from the program, and he's been a shining example in so many ways. So.
Oh, that's awesome. And Ken, I know you touched a little bit on the need right now and why it's so important. Why don't you guys, all three of you, expand on that need and why it is important?
The why is the great need that we've had for, you know, God has always said, Pray the Lord of the harvest, send workers into the harvest field. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Matthew chapter 9. He calls us, and the harvest is plentiful, but we have fewer and fewer workers in the harvest that are equipped, that are trusted men and women to engage in the work. We just need to raise up more people. My prayer is that we would have literally thousands of men and women, lay men and women, trained at this level, whether it be with a master's degree through our Kairos, our partnership with Kairos on that platform, or be it through our Classic Plus program. But they are equipped and they are energized and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, partnering with their congregation, their leadership there, and their pastors, other church workers. And then some of those men and women will go on, in particular men, will go on to say, you know, I think God is calling me now to go into ordained ministry. And that's, they have that level of training, then they can move on. So it really is the need to send workers out into the harvest field with great confidence and great capacity to serve.
And Al, since you were the, well, not guinea pig, but first graduate, talk about your experience and then also how you see God working through you as you've graduated and gone on.
You know, I'm always doing stuff in the church. I may be holding a church office. Maybe I'm reading reading scripture, maybe leading a Bible class. Sometimes maybe, calling out a sick person or just different things like that. Reverend Dr. Schultz, who was very instrumental in the initial phases of this whole training program, he was my pastor. And we talked often about that. And, I don't need the training now, or the time is not right. As I was approaching retirement, then that was the time, that was the opportunity for me to get into it. Many of the things that I'm doing now as a deacon, I was doing in some way, shape, or form before being a deacon. It's a really life-changing thing, is when you've gone through the training and you receive the blessing of your congregation to go forward, there's a certain responsibility, a certain, just things change. And you may be doing the same things, but they have a different impact, at least from my point of view. So as far as the Kairos program, why I chose to finish that, I could have grandfathered into the classic or the old Classic Plus program. I could have grandfathered into that, but I'd always wanted to earn a master's degree. But I didn't want to just have a piece of paper to put on the wall. It didn't make any sense. I needed something that tied into what I was doing. And this Kairos program was that opportunity, as I was able to do this, the stuff that I was doing in class directly related to the things that was going on in the ministry at St. Michael.
Jeff, if I may add, pastors by nature, and that's my assumption, they want to do it all, and they want to be at every meeting. They want to do this and do that. And I have found that pastors that have allowed themselves to have assistance through the deacon or the MAP program, their effectiveness goes up many fold, significantly higher than before. And they realize the value of this ministry for the total picture. A case in point is St. Michael's Lutheran Church in Wayne, Michigan, where Al attends, and I used to be an active member there and served in many roles at that congregation. And Pastor Drew, current pastor there, just embraces that program, and because we have Al Renard and we have Martin Banks, who is now a vicar going through the seminary. But the congregation as a whole, their sense of strength and fellowship with each other and the desire to reach out to others.
And I'm sure, Rob, you could expand on that too, where pastors do like to put everything on their plate, and it sometimes is difficult to give some of that up, right?
It is. And as I was in parish ministry for 28 and a half years as a pastor, lead pastor, And then coming to this role in the district office as assistant to the president. And had I known what I know now with regard to, it's not all about me. It's about how many people I can train up and raise up and release into ministry with a level of authority, with a level of responsibility. I would have done things maybe a little bit different as I look back. Also, we just need to recognize we're really there's a book entitled The Once and Future Church, and the author of that, Lauren Mead, said that the main training place for leaders in the early church was in the congregation, as they would be raised up within the congregation to serve. And man, we're going back to that. It really is going back to that. Not back to the first century church, it's actually to the post-Christian era. We just need to raise up more people from within the congregation to be equipped at some level, and some will go into professional church work. Some will continue to serve very faithfully in those specific areas of their expertise. In the future, let me just say too, our hope is that from the district's perspective, as I work in this area, we hope to add specialized training in church planting and outreach and so on, in addition to the 14 core courses that we provide. Just so what that looks like in the future, we can provide specific training for people.
So how do we encourage lay leadership training within our church?
Yeah, it's so important to encourage it, because we have so many people that are doing work of the church, and we want to raise them up. We want them to be qualified. So there's simple things. Just keep an eye out for those prospective deacons and ministry assistants. Encourage them to take the conventional path or the Kairos path, and whichever one suits their abilities. They have that, and then. This is most important here, is listen to the stories that the men and women in your congregation are telling you, and how they are working in the Lord. More important, how the hand of the Lord is working in them. And then allow for opportunities for lay people to serve and assist you in the ministries. I mentioned about reading, maybe visiting on people, calling, encourage that, help them develop those skills. And then, very much so, recognize and celebrate the work of deacons and ministry assistants in our midst and in our whole district.
One of the terms that came up at a recent faculty gathering was, so why are we doing this? In that it is not this training program for theological training in the district is not running counter to, but in cooperation with and complementary to our Concordia University system, our training of pastors and deaconesses and so on, and teachers, other professional church workers that are commissioned or ordained. And it's really just raising up more and more people that are trained at some level that can then go on. So it's not in competition, it's not counter to, it is in cooperation with and encouragement toward ordination and also toward other areas of service that are recognized by our church body as called servants of the Lord.
And Jeff, one final thing is from my viewpoint, the faculty. We are excited about the qualifications that our faculty have in raising up these servants of the Lord.
It's the Michigan School of Missional Formation. Go to our website at michigandistrict.org. You can hit the search button and then look up Michigan School of Missional Formation, and you'll find contact information there for Ken, Al, Rob. You'll find much more on the programs, how to get involved. Again, michigandistrict.org, and it's Michigan School of Missional Formation. Gentlemen, want to thank you so much for all the information and the insight. It was great talking to you today.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. We also want to thank you, the listener, for making this podcast part of your day. God bless.